everyone, and welcome back to the Renew Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, mindset and business coach, Kieran Lenihan, and I am so glad that you're here with me today on the week before Christmas. You know, the release day for this episode, December 21st, is actually a really special day for me. It's the anniversary of the day that I left my corporate job and dove full-time into entrepreneurship. And I have a video of me walking out of the building that I worked in for the last time. And every time that I watch it, I get a little teary-eyed. And I think back to how much fear there was leading up to that decision, and then how much peace came once I actually decided to say yes to what I felt like God was calling me into. And so for anyone that's in that boat on the edge of a big decision, maybe it's not leaving your job, but just a big decision that feels maybe a little scary or crazy and like it's going to test your faith, check in with yourself and check in with God. You might already know deep down what it is that you want to do and what God's calling you to do. And I just want to encourage you to do it, because you're going to look back in 1, 2, 5, 10 years with so much gratitude for your past self doing it and making that decision. God's going to supply the strength and the resources to carry out his work. And so if you feel confident that he's calling you to something, I want to encourage you to lean into that. Now, today, we're going to kind of add on to the previous two episodes where we've been talking about ideal clients. And so today, we're going to get super practical and take what we've talked about in the last couple of episodes and just make it really concrete for you, to give you some tangible ways to apply this to your day-to-day in the operations of your business. But before we dive into that, let's just do a little bit of review from the last two episodes. So the big assumption that I made around these episodes is that you want a client roster or a customer base full of ideal people, people that you love working with. And so in episode 8, we talked about ideal clients, and the way that we defined an ideal client was this. They are the people that you would love to work with, the people for whom your services are the perfect solution to their problems, and they are the people who want to pay you money to help them solve their problem. And then in episode 9, we said that there's this principle where if you want a client roster full of ideal clients, you should only market specifically to your ideal clients. And we talked about the common reasons that people don't do this, right? There's the fear of missing out. What about all of the other people that I can serve? And what about the fact that won't I be repelling certain people from wanting to work with me? And last episode, I shared my personal story around the fears and hesitations and lies that prevented me from leaning into focusing on working with faith-driven entrepreneurs, and then how you can apply the lessons that I learned to your business, your ideal clients, and the people that you choose to market to. And so if you haven't listened to episodes 8 and 9, I would suggest doing that and then coming back to listen to this one. Today is kind of the unofficial part 3 of this series on ideal clients. And so what we get into is going to be most applicable for people who use social media, email marketing, and a website as part of their marketing strategy. So if online marketing is a big part of your business, this is going to be particularly useful for you. But I will say that this principle does apply to you if you hate all of that stuff and you only market through networking and in-person relationship building and word of mouth and referrals. So I think there's something for, regardless of which side you're on, or if you do a combination of both, I think there's going to be some value for you here. So in today's episode, I want to do a couple of things. I want to reinforce why marketing specifically to your ideal client is actually in the best interest of you, your future clients, and the world, right? In advancing the kingdom of God in the world. I also want to help you bring awareness to whether or not you're doing this effectively. And when I say this, I mean marketing directly and specifically to your ideal client. And then if you're not doing this effectively, if you realize you're not really doing this at all, I just want to give you a really simple and concrete way to start marketing more effectively. So first, as always, let's start with scripture. And today I'm just going to pull from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 22, which says this. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, this is one of many verses that I could have pulled out for this, and it's not actually what happened in this particular verse or what was said once that is really related to the point that I'm trying to make in this episode. This is more about a pattern that we see as we look at the life of Jesus and read through the Gospels. And it's this pattern, or just this fact, that Jesus primarily throughout his ministry spent time with a small group of people. And so we all know that Jesus is the most well-known name ever, right? He is the person who has had the single greatest impact on the world of anyone who ever existed and ever will exist, right? He turned BC into AD. And I find it so fascinating that when we look at what we know about his life, particularly when it comes to his ministry, he had a pretty small circle. Jesus spent the most time with 12 men and a handful of women throughout his ministry. He didn't spend much time with Roman leaders or soldiers or Native Americans in North America or traveling to foreign lands. He was with a really small group of people consistently over the course of the 3 years of his ministry. And there's so much that we can talk about with this, but one thing that I think we can draw from how he lived his life was this. He came to save all people. And when I say all people, I mean all people literally forever. That was his mission. That's why God sent him here. And with a mission that massive on an eternal scale, he knew that the best way to serve all people was actually to focus on deeply being present where he was locally. You know, there's a sign on my mom and dad's back deck, and my mom's really into gardening, and she has this sign that says, "Grow where you are planted." And I think it's the same idea. God placed Jesus into this very specific moment in history, into a very specific culture, and a very specific time. And Jesus showed up and was deeply present in that world and in that culture. And I think as entrepreneurs, we tend to have really big ideas and huge visions for wanting to change the lives and have a positive impact on thousands or millions or even billions of people. But we make all kinds of assumptions about what that must have to look like in order for a vision that big to actually happen. And a lot of times, that big of a vision can get daunting or feel impossible or even discourage you from even starting your journey. But I think what we can learn from Jesus in looking at his life is that creating generational ripples comes from going deep, not from spreading yourself thin and trying to be everywhere at once, right? Picture dropping a huge rock into a pond, right? You can drop that huge rock and it's going to sink very deep and it's going to send large ripples throughout the entire pond that eventually make it to the outer edges of the pond, versus skipping a small rock across the top of the pond and having it skim from place to place, right? Which one of those two creates bigger, longer lasting ripples? And so if the ripples that we're after are the advancement of the kingdom of God here on earth, I think we want to be people who try to go deep where we are, as opposed to trying to be those rocks skipping across the surface, trying to be everywhere all at once. And so with that as the backdrop, I want to dive in, because today's episode is called Talk to or Market to the People at Your Table. And this reference actually comes from a very specific story that I want to share that illustrates this principle, actually from my high school experience. And so I grew up in a small town where I went to public school all the way up until eighth grade. And then in high school, I went to St. Benedict's Prep, which is an all-guys high school on the grounds of a monastery in Newark, New Jersey, which is the biggest city in New Jersey. And I actually chose to go there, had nothing to do with anything spiritual. It was all because they had the best soccer team in the nation, and I wanted to play for that soccer team. And this is totally an aside, but it was an amazing school. 60 Minutes did a special on St. Benedict's a handful of years back, and this is actually where I first experienced true community. And I actually owe a lot of who I am today to that place. But back to what's relevant here for your business. So in our cafeteria, there were these tables dispersed everywhere. And I had my friends who I would eat lunch with pretty much every day. And we sat in the corner, not far from the entrance to where students would line up to buy their lunch and get served their lunch. And one of the things that would happen pretty often would be that in the middle of lunch, some of my friends would just start banging on the table with their fists and knuckles and pens and start making a beat. And eventually, people at the table would start taking turns jumping in, adding to the music or rapping over the beat. And sometimes some of my friends would stand up and start dancing, right, while somebody else was rapping. And when somebody said a really clever line, the table would go crazy. And so I don't know where you went to high school, but this was not an uncommon occurrence. So some context, in general, stuff like this would actually happen a decent amount. So this wasn't abnormal. Like, for example, we started our day as an entire school together in the basketball gym, sitting on the floor. And in the bleachers, which is where we did announcements, we sang songs, we took attendance. And on random days, sometimes everybody would just start clapping and people would start dancing. And so one time, Dana and I actually visited some of the faculty. I was going back after I had graduated. And we went to this morning meeting, and there happened to be two kids on opposite ends of the gym. They both had their drums. They were in the drum line. And they were just going back and forth competing, and everybody was going crazy. So this wasn't the typical, from what I understand, high school experience. But back to the cafeteria, what was so interesting about my friends and I making beats and dancing and rapping during lunch was that, you know, we had some competitive spirit. Different people in the school would brag about who was the best rapper or drum player. And so you wanted to be able to draw the attention of the whole room to you to demonstrate your skills and to kind of assert dominance over the other high school kids. And so here's where it gets interesting. There were some days where we knew that this was going to happen at lunch. We had kind of planned it. And so some of us that would sit at our table, we would go around the entire cafeteria and spread the word and hype it up, saying how something amazing is going to go down at 12:30. You definitely want to come over by the table and check it out. And we would go to other people's tables and let them know what was about to happen. The thing was, whenever we did that, it seemed like people that we told about it were actually less interested. So even when we started making a beat and people started rapping and we got some glances and a little bit of interest, but nobody else got out of their seat to come over and check out what was happening. And so we ended up having less fun and only did it for a couple of minutes. But there were times when we didn't go around and try to recruit people from other tables to come and check it out. And we just focused on doing our thing and doing what we did at our table. And we just spontaneously started making the beat and going around with people freestyling. And we were just focused on enjoying that moment and having fun with the people who were already there at our table. And what's amazing is that those were the times when people would get up out of their seats from all over the cafeteria to come over and see what was happening. And occasionally, people would even jump in. They would grab a seat at the table, or they would add to the beat, or they would start dancing or start rapping as well. And it's so interesting because it was like people were so drawn to what was happening because we were having so much fun just focusing on interacting with each other that it was almost magnetic to them and people had to see what was going on. And these were the times that we had the most fun. And we would continue going on for 10 or 15 minutes, which was like a third of our lunch period. So this was really highly coveted time. Now, what does all of this have to do with your business? What do I mean when I say talk to the people at your table, market to the people at your table? The people that were sitting at my table in the cafeteria, those were my best friends. The people at your table in your business are your ideal clients. The people who love you, the people who love the work that you do and the things that you have to say. Now, the entire cafeteria, those were all of the students that were in my school. Your entire cafeteria is your entire audience, your followers, your friends, your network. And so just like not everybody in that cafeteria was my best friend, not everyone in your audience is going to be an ideal client. And that's okay. I didn't need or want 150 best friends in high school, just like many of you don't need or want 150 clients. And so the lesson that I learned from that experience is that whenever you focus on just being with the people who are at your table and having fun, people from other tables are going to get interested and want to come closer and see what's happening. And so whenever you focus on deeply serving your ideal clients and them specifically, not worried about what people at other tables are doing, not worried about what non-ideal clients are thinking about you, other people start to notice and come closer. Because when you speak specifically about the pain points and the problems that you help your ideal client solve, other people realize that they might have those same problems too, and they see that you can help them, right? So for example, I specifically market to faith-driven entrepreneurs. This podcast is called A Podcast for Faith-Driven Entrepreneurs. But guess what? Do you think that there are entrepreneurs out there who aren't faith-driven, but who also want to spend less time working and more time with their families? Of course there are. So people have come to me for help growing their business and reducing the amount of time that they spend working so that they can be with their families more. Another example, if you help moms improve their relationships with their daughters, there might be dads in your audience who come to you for help to improve their relationships with their sons. If you help young professionals manage their finances, people who are in the middle of their careers who never learned how to manage their finances might come to you for help. And so last episode, I talked about one of the biggest reasons that people hesitate to lean into speaking to a specific ideal client in their marketing is because of this fear of missing out on what about these other people who are outside of that description, who don't fit into the box neatly of ideal client, what's going to happen to those people? And the answer is, when you allow yourself to market specifically to your ideal client, you get two things. One, your ideal clients can now identify themselves and come to you and see that you're actually the right person for them to work with. And two, other people from other tables start to come to you. Because when you market to your ideal client specifically, your level of clarity increases, your examples get better and more detailed, and your marketing, it just becomes more compelling, both to your ideal client and to others. And so as people from other tables start to gather around and start getting interested in your services, guess what? They might even eventually become an ideal client the longer that they're in your audience, right? Part of our job as entrepreneurs marketing our services is that we help people increase their understanding and their awareness of the problems that they're experiencing. And then we present to them solutions and ways that they can actually solve that problem. I've had some examples of people who they've wanted to start a business for years, but they just haven't done it yet. And so they're in my audience. They didn't have a business yet, so they technically were not my ideal client. I work with people who are entrepreneurs, people who are already running a business. And then through the content that I created and the education and inspiration that I shared, they ended up starting their business. And lo and behold, they became an ideal client. But this only happened because I wasn't talking to everybody. I wasn't talking to people who maybe wanted to start a business and to people who definitely wanted to start a business but haven't, and to people who are already running a business. I was focused on talking to people who already had businesses that they wanted to grow. And so whenever you're showing up in the world, whether it's marketing yourself on social media or showing up to a networking event, you want to ruthlessly focus on only your ideal client. You want to talk to the people who are at your table, not to everybody in the cafeteria. Now let's get really practical, because some of you might be nodding along and saying, okay, I get it. Be where you are, focus on serving the ideal clients in your audience right now, then just try to serve and market specifically to them. So what does this actually look like? First off, in order to do this, it requires that you believe that there is at least one ideal client in your audience right now, as I speak today. That's the bare minimum. If you believe that there are 3 or 5 or 10 or 20, even better, but one belief that there's one ideal client in your audience right now, is all you need to be able to show up from a place of love and service that can speak specifically to their pain point and their problem. Now, if you don't believe that's the case, which it almost never is, I want you to challenge yourself that if it were true that there was one ideal client in your audience today, what evidence do you have that would support this? Who might that person be? Now, let's do a quick thought exercise. When you think of who is in your audience, what immediately comes up? When you think of the actual people who follow you, who are friends with you, who are in your network, who immediately comes to mind? Now, here's a list of very common answers that my clients have given, that I have given myself when I've done this thought exercise. And it sounds like this: past coworkers, family members, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, cousins, bots and fake accounts on Instagram, random people who are real, but you actually have no idea who they are or how you became friends with them or how they found you, people that you went to high school with, or your best friends. And so here's the thing. If none of these people, or none of the people that when I ask the question, who do you think of when you think about your audience and who follows you or reads your posts, if those people are not ideal clients, one, this is a problem, but two, this is really good awareness to have, because this means that whenever you're creating content, whenever you go to hit post or send, writing an email, recording a video, this means that you're thinking about people who aren't actually your ideal clients, because your brain is going to go to the easiest place, to the place where you just have patterns of knowing that these people are in your audience and you are most aware of. And sometimes the people that we're most aware of tend to be the people who like our posts or the people who talk to us in real life about what they see us doing. And so if this is happening, this is really good awareness to have, but you don't want to be doing this. Because when you create content for people who aren't your ideal clients, or you are filtering out and watering down your content because of the people that you just listed, the people that are top of mind when you think of your audience, two things happen. One, ideal clients don't come to you, probably because they don't even know their ideal clients yet, and that you'd be the perfect service provider for them. And two, nobody or non-ideal clients might be coming to you because your marketing messaging isn't clear. And so if you're thinking of Aunt Janice or random acquaintances from college who aren't your ideal client when you show up in your marketing, stop doing that. So the question becomes, what do you do instead? And let's just keep this as simple as possible. Instead of thinking about people who are not ideal clients, think about the people in your audience who are ideal clients. And so here's literally and practically what this can look like. Ask yourself, who in your audience, your friends, your followers, your connections, do you think is an ideal client? Again, somebody you would love to work with, who your services are a perfect fit to help them solve their problem. What are their names? Write them down. This is something that I do at the start of every single week. I list the people, even if it's three or four people who are on my radar, who I think are ideal clients that I would love to work with. And then I reference this list and bring these people to mind anytime I'm going to create a piece of content to serve my audience, like sit down to outline an episode of the podcast, or outline a post or write a post for Instagram, or record a video that I'm going to share. And what I do, because I'm a very visual person, is I picture sitting at that cafeteria table that I mentioned earlier with my ideal clients and only my ideal clients. And I ask myself, what do they need to know or learn or hear today? And then I speak directly to them. And now maybe for you, you picture a different table. Maybe it's the table on your back deck or the table in your dining room or in your kitchen. But whatever it is, you want to picture yourself actually sitting and talking to them, because that's actually what you're doing. And this, to be honest, isn't very difficult. It takes a little bit of time up front and really just the discipline to build this into your routine for creating content. And it's amazing how this little thought exercise and choosing to focus on specific people, sometimes that you actually know in real life, this will affect the way that you show up and the quality of your marketing. And the higher the quality of your marketing, the more ideal clients you will bring in and the more people you will be able to serve. Now, even if you use networking and relationship building and build your client base via referrals, this principle is still incredibly important because if you water down how you describe who you work with to be more broad and just more general, it's going to make it harder for the people that you're networking with or the people that you know to be able to refer your ideal client to you. And ultimately, it's going to make it harder for you to create that roster full of ideal clients. And so my client Kyle, who I mentioned last week, who's a graphic designer, his clients largely come to him through referrals and word of mouth. He actually doesn't do very much marketing. And especially with a service like graphic design, where there's a visual portfolio of the work that he has done, the more that he did work with non-ideal clients, the more it just perpetuated a cycle of more of that work coming in. Because people would talk, people would see that he did a certain type of work for somebody else, and then they rightly assumed that, oh, that's the kind of work that Kyle does. So let's reach out to him and ask him to do that kind of work for us, right? And so the cycle continues and continues. And it's not until he changed the services that he listed on his website and started saying no to the certain kinds of work that he didn't want to be doing anymore that ideal clients started to come to him and hire him for the work that he loves to do. And now the fun part is that his portfolio and his current roster of clients all reflect the work he loves to do with the kinds of organizations and people that he likes to work with. And so now this cycle of word of mouth and referrals is working for him rather than against him. And that's the power of taking these steps. So here's how I would summarize episodes 8, 9, and 10. If you want a client roster and a customer base full of ideal people, number one, you want to define who your ideal client is. Number two, you want to market specifically to them and only them. And then number three, literally, you want to picture yourself sitting at a table with only your ideal clients and speak directly to them in your marketing. Now, to wrap up this episode, I actually want to share something that I've touched on a little bit before, and it's this. I consider Jesus to be the greatest entrepreneur, the greatest leader of a movement, the greatest person who fulfilled a mission of all time. And when I think about his life, he didn't travel very far at all. He didn't have modern technology to scale his communications or his mission. Yet he's the single most influential person in human history. He has changed the lives of billions of people, almost all of whom never laid eyes on him. How did he do this, right? It was the depth of the change that the people close to him experienced. He changed the lives of his disciples and the people who spent time with him daily so deeply that the ripple effects have lasted for thousands of years and they're going to last for thousands more. Jesus wasn't worried about how he was going to reach people on other continents because he was intensely present with the people who are right in front of him. And so my point is that I don't want you to miss out on opportunities to serve the people who are right in front of you, the people who are sitting at your table. Yes, market yourself. Yes, stretch yourself to meet new people, make new friends, expand your network, share about the work that you do with new audiences, but also be where you are. We are called to steward what we've been given right now, what's in front of us today. And so serve your current clients with everything that you have. Serve your current audience with everything that you have. It's not just good business strategy of when you serve people really well, they want to continue to work with you and refer you to other people. This is also what God calls us to do. So try to go deep with your impact and focus on deep ripples, talking to the people at your table. And then let God take the work that you do far and wide. If you haven't already, come and connect with me on Instagram at Kieran Lenihan Coaching. I'll link to that in the show notes. I'm going to share that video of when I left my corporate job there. And it's also just the best way to stay updated with the podcast, to vote for topics you want me to cover next here on the podcast, and just all the resources that I create to serve faith-driven entrepreneurs. Also, if you've gotten something tangible and valuable from listening to this podcast and you listen on Apple or Spotify, please go ahead and just give the podcast a rating. Spotify actually just announced that they're now allowing people to give ratings to the podcasts that people listen to on their platform. And what these ratings do is just help make it easier for people to find this podcast in their search results and just makes it more discoverable. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would super appreciate it. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week on the Renew Your Mind podcast. Merry Christmas to you all, and enjoy the holiday with your loved ones.